Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, once again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk, ever-expanding industrial ecosystem of problem solvers and leaders. Because everyone out there, you know, this platform is for every manufacturer, every industry out there, because you are bold, brave, you dare greatly, you're solving problems, you collaborate, you're coming up with innovative solutions to all of it, and creating businesses that are resilient. That's why we celebrate you here. That's why this ecosystem, you need to be a part of it. All right, in the hot seat, we have a gentleman by the name of Shamek Tomczak. KX is the company, and we're talking about utilities. We're talking about data analytics, and it is a data analytics solution to our utility challenges. So let's get it cracking. Yeah. Because I lack utility stuff, I had a great conversation with Shamek. Great, great professional. Big time, big time. All right, let's do some house cleaning. You're saying to yourself, Scott, hey, Scott, what's new on Industrial Talk? Well, let me just sort of share with you. We always go to conferences. We like conferences. We like the fact that we get to connect with all of these incredible leaders and professionals and problem solvers. That's what it's all about. IMTS is going to be the next conference we're at. This is September 12th to the 17th. It is in Chicago, Illinois. And if you're in manufacturing, you need to be there. It's a must. This is a massive show with incredible solutions and innovation to help you as a manufacturer become more resilient and really begin to leverage, well, the innovation that exists out there. We are also broadcasting there with IMTS Plus, and it is sort of the influencer platform that AMT put together. AMT is the organizers of IMTS. No test on this, trust me. Don't worry about it. Anyway, we've got a great broadcast booth. It's center location. We are with other industry influencers, and it is just, it's meant to be fun. It's meant to be exciting. It is meant to be able to highlight all of the great talent and technology that exists in manufacturing, because really, again, you need to educate. That's why IMTS here. That's why we're a part of IMTS Plus. You need to collaborate again, right there, right now. And then thirdly, you need to innovate. Create that business that is resilient. Now, in line with that, because it's up in Chicago, on the 13th of September, we're going to be sort of tootling around MXD. And this is sort of a, you get to see all of this incredible innovation, this manufacturing innovation in action. You can walk the floor. They have an open house. I think it starts at 4:30 and it continues on to 7-ish. Right in there. And that's MXD. So if you go to IMTS, which you should, and then you jump on and you look for IMTS Plus, which I will be there, look for this and put this on your calendar, because they have a great website, and it's mxdusa.org. And you can take a virtual tour, but I would highly recommend that you take a physical tour. Finally, because we are an ever-expanding ecosystem. That's what we are about. We have new members. And the newest member is Arduino. Arduino, they're out of Italy. And what's great about them is the story. The story is that here's this IoT. Here's this incredible opportunity for many manufacturers to be able to extract data from their systems and to be able to make great decisions. Now, now this organization, Arduino, what they can do is they can create these wonderful devices to be able to do that and do it quite effectively. Their email or their website is Arduino, that's Arduino.cc. Go out there, and it's a great website. They have so much going on. I'm looking at it right now. It's amazing. They never stop. It's, well, quite frankly, it's fantastic. Arduino, that's the company. All right, let's get on with the conversation here. One. So I ran into KX. I was at a manufacturing conference up in Chicago again. Not IMTS, a different one. And ran into KX. And what was interesting about them is that they provide sort of that data analytics for F1. And I'm an F1 fan, a nut. And what makes F1 so interesting to me is the ability to be able to extract the data from that car and then be able to make real-time adjustments to optimize the performance of that asset. Makes sense. That's where we're trying to get to within manufacturing. How do we look at that high-performance manufacturing asset and we continue to refine it and make it even more efficient, more productive? And that's where KX, and I just said, oh my gosh. And I was going to talk about F1, but I got all distracted by all of the other things and of course, utility stuff as well. Well, I enjoyed the conversation and you're going to enjoy the conversation. Again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk. And here's Shamek. Shamek, welcome to Industrial Talk. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Great to be here, Scott.
And yeah, that's a couple of takes on, you didn't hear it, listeners, but that was a couple of takes, and I finally was able to get out Industrial Talk. Go figure. How about that one? I am so glad we get a chance to talk. I'm telling you, ever since I met, the KX team in, I want to say Chicago, and then I started geeking out on Formula One, and then I started geeking out on digital transformation and everything in between. I am so excited to be able to have this conversation. This is cool. So how you doing?
And it's very nice and hot here in Toronto, Canada.
Don't talk to me about hot. I live in Louisiana. It's always hot and miserable and steamy and everything else. All right, for the listeners out there, give us a little 411, a little background. What is information in Canada? Down here, it's 411. What is the information dial, do you know?
411.
411. Give us a 411 on Shamek.
Shamek Tomczak, SVP IoT Utilities, KX, which is a streaming real-time analytics company, been around for over 25 years, and well-known in finance. And we're applying this technology to solve lots of interesting challenges: energy, utilities, manufacturing, Formula One, etc. And I started my career in the energy sector in consulting, market deregulation, then worked for a grid operator, ran a data hub, information exchange, and then saw all the data challenges we were facing, thought we could do a better job, and then joined KX to actually help do it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, your stat card. Go, you've got to check him out. It's a heck of a stat card on LinkedIn. And as I peruse, yep, you've got some utility chops because you were part of the independent electric system operator up there too.
Yeah.
Talk about the grid and everything associated with digital transformation. And when you were there back in, looks like 2015, did you see what was happening in the utility space? That all of this distributed energy, plug the car in here, the battery over there, solar over there, whatever, and being able to manage that grid. Did you guys see that?
Absolutely. We saw it and started, we kicked off as a whole company and the whole sector to redesign the whole market so that it was much more flexible, more resilient with all that change, providing new market vehicles so folks could participate in the market. So that journey was starting when I left and has continued on since then.
Yeah, given that, upon reflection of where you're at today, and I'm sure, do you keep in contact with some of those people at the ISO?
I do. A lot of faces have changed. Some retired because we had long-serving folks, 30-year-plus. That was a common theme. But a lot of new energy, new faces have come into the sector, which is great to see.
Do they determine that all of this stuff, because it's happening at a blistering pace, have they determined that they're successful, or are they on a journey to success, or how would you sort of grade the situation there now?
I think it's a journey, just because in Ontario, Canada, we have a central grid operator and market operator, and we have a transmission operator, and we've got 64 distribution companies. So all need to interplay in that sector, and more generation and more EVs are getting added to the distribution sector. And historically, the ISO, the central facility, has not had visibility of what was going on in the distribution system. Because, hey, it's less than 1 megawatt, it's noise, but as you're getting more of this, it's less noise. You can see it, but you can't pinpoint it. So I think through the market change initiatives is to create the visibility that they need as the whole system's changing.
And how did that happen? Because exactly, my pedigree comes into the utility is way back then, and it was pretty straightforward where you got your generator, transmission, substation, and so on, and nobody really saw the distribution. What has helped into the visibility of the distribution system?
So here's what I'm seeing right now, and I'm involved in, fortunate to be involved with some major initiatives in Europe and also some in North America, where the utilities are now deploying higher frequency meters, meaning measuring more stuff, more variables, not just for billing. And then they're exchanging all this information with all relevant parties. So we're involved in the Finnish data hub. So in Finland, all the production consumption information is exchanged and facilitated centrally so that whoever wishes to participate and get value from the information can. Well, in North America, it's more silos still where each utility protects. But to make the right investment decisions, am I going to put a storage in this section of the grid or should I build some additional generation here? You need that visibility. One of our partners, for example, just by using basic algorithms, is able to detect where somebody's charging a vehicle. They don't need lots of AI ML, just a basic algorithm validated to looking at energy consumption information to see, are you charging here? Then the utility can be armed with, is my transformer overloaded or will be overloaded? Where should they reinforce the system? And not rely on guessing where the stuff is, empirically see it. And that's part of the visibility journey, because as you said, assets were deployed, configured in a time where the variability didn't matter. There really wasn't.
It was interesting because that design of the utility infrastructure, whatever that looked like, had been around for 100 years. And many of these utilities are subject to the regulatory agencies and the bodies in their little service territory or whatever it might be. Yeah. And therefore, they're making decisions so that they don't get into trouble with their regulatory agency. And of course, you don't want the consumer to get all ticked off at you because you're delivering lousy power. So that is a data analytic type of solution. Give us a little sort of, how does data analytics in this very dynamic system of the utilities work? I mean, it has to be that way because I can't, from a system operator, okay, we need a little bit more generation here. Oh, we're doing this. And, it's impossible. There's no way. Take us through that journey.
So I was involved in the first smart metering program and rate structure in the world. That was Ontario. We were the first mandated rollout. We learned a lot, a lot of lessons learned. And if you think about, that was about 100 times more data than utilities used to collect for what folks are using this commodity they're producing. And what's happening now with smart meter rollout and more advanced meters, that is growing by 10x to 40 times larger than even before. It's just crazy. But utilities are using this information because they want to know what's happening really behind the meter. What's power quality like? Voltage, all the phases, phase angles. So they want to have information, not flying blind. Imagine a telco where you are getting a bill for your consumption of data and not tracking it. Well, that's what the utilities were doing. Even though how much energy you consumed or produced at a point in time had a huge impact on the grid, now you're getting that visibility. The challenge for utilities is how do I correlate that information to the connectivity model, to customer information, to make sense of it? And then the other most important thing is it of high quality? Because meters malfunction, connectivity issues, bad data, how do I correct for it and deal with it in the right time so I can make sense of it for billing, market settlements, fault detection, detecting electrical vehicles? Most times in an analytics journey, I find utilities spending just on data cleansing before even getting to a point of analyzing it. So data quality, context are probably the most important, and then putting it all together in one place.
So as a utility, of course, I've got to ask the question. So I've been operating a certain way for forever, you know, pretty much. As I understand that there's that transformer out there. Blah, blah, blah. I've been doing this forever. And then you come knocking on the door and saying, hey, there's some other stuff happening here. There's some market forces impacting this. And we're going to have this solar. We're going to have this distributed sort of system out here. We're going to have a microgrid over here. And I don't even know, as a utility, where do I begin? What's my step? And I would imagine it's case by case, right?
I completely agree with you. It's like, what's most important to you? Do I want to create a new rate structure for my customers to give them choice? If that's the case, then I'm going to go back. I need to then collect this data and then summarize it into the various bucket that will allow me to build. Like the telcos went through 20, 30 years ago where you had different packages you can buy. And then utilities can do the same thing. I know I've got a choice. I can go in a fixed price type model, or I can go on a TOU rate model. Or Texas has lots of sophisticated retail market and lots of choice there. So the other one is if vegetation management is a problem. I saw, especially in California, and I saw some great case studies at DistribuTech, where if you're analyzing a certain lines with at 15,000 measurements per second. So imagine a regular meter may capture, let's say, 96 data points per day. This is 15,000 times a second. They're able to detect when a branch touches a wire or whether it's disconnected, whether you've got a safety incident. So they can roll a truck before it becomes an issue and precisely detect where it is before they would be guessing. So huge if that's the problem. In some jurisdictions, it's less of a problem. So I prioritize the case and drive backwards. It may mean they may need some of the same technologies or techniques underneath the surface, but the driver may be different.
Yeah, the utility maintenance side is a big deal. Again, my old hat. We would just sort of patrol the lines, and then we would look at the insulators from the ground. And then if that arm was sort of cattywampus, then we'd realize that arm's cattywampus and we better go and change it. And then you'd run back to the office, and then you'd pick up an arm and you'd come on out and you change it. It's that whole vegetation management, maintenance of your assets is a huge deal to be able to see that. And that, again, is a data analytic conversation and insights and being able to do that in a real time. Yeah, I really got all geeked out on that one too at DistribuTech, because it, knowing me, I mean, you'd get a relay and you'd go and have to patrol the line, and then you say, yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, re-energize.
I have a friend who's in the asset management maintenance field, known him for like 25 years, expert in his field. And he said, you know, in the old days, you used to put your hand on an asset and feel whether it needs attention. That was the sensing that we were doing.
We would go to tower by tower and hit it with our wrench. And if it rattled, we got some loose bolts. And then all you did say is, it's like, hey, we got some loose bolts. You're never going to find them. You just got loose bolts. And that was all the time.
And what I'm seeing, in whether it's Formula One racing or semiconductor manufacturing, these are the most more advanced areas. You can apply this to any business. It's like, high quality product is so critical, high value. So then they're putting sensors at higher frequency. Think of it, it's like high resolution TV. You're moved from 4K to 8K. You can see a lot more, just like the micro PMUs or just the regular PMUs that have been deployed in the US. You see more things you'd be blind because be hidden the average or some statistical value, but you want to see the raw data. And then you can see, you can detect. You see. If you can't see, you can't correct.
See, how do you deal with the data tsunami? I mean, it's like not all data is like high priority data. There's a lot of bad data. Oh, not bad data, just nothing data. But you're still collecting. How do you deal with this tsunami of data so that you just, you know, so the state of Nevada is not one big cloud server?
Yeah, I learned this when I was at the ISO because we were running one of the world's first and largest of its kind. It says, and I saw the challenges with traditional approaches. Most data went to some relational database or some open source tech. But 90% of the data we're talking about here is time series data. That's a timestamp, a value, some other quality indicators that there's a different technique you apply for storing, processing, analyzing it. So it's much more efficient, consumes less resources, less storage, less server farms to do what you need to do with it. You just need a different paradigm for how you handle that type of data versus all the general purpose data utilities have been managing till that point.
Again, back to the utility and back to the necessity that these pressures are happening on their grid. Yeah. They just are. Their batteries, wind's been around, solar on my, roof and so on and so forth. Yeah. And they're given the option. Consumers are given the option to say, yeah, hey, I got power. I'm going to wheel it during the peak and then I'm going to use it, whatever the thing is. How does the utility ensure that they don't get ahead of their skis and all of this stuff is happening and I can't keep up with it? What do we do? What sort of strategies can we deploy?
I think it's both a business and technical architecture. So say, hey, I'm going to be in this business. So you appoint folks to lead this so they're just not surprised by it and be reactive to say, hey, this is going to happen. And then technology-wise, who can I engage to help me with this? Do I have folks and staff that can architect for this, plan for it, that tsunami? Because once the tsunami hits, you're going to be throwing data on the ground. You're not going to be able to deal with it. But if you plan for it, say, hey, if this comes, whether it's 6 months ahead, a year ahead, then you can do it. It's not a big of a challenge. But if you've got, let's say, a month to do it, you'll be challenged.
And what that sounds like to me is it's going to happen. Let's just establish the fact that it's going to happen. Whatever it is, this digital transformation of the utility is happening and it's going to happen. And therefore, every utility, I don't care, big, small, middle, I don't care, must begin that engagement. But then again, the technology exists. It does. It's all good.
Yeah.
I find that it becomes a human equation and you got to find the individual person, team, company to help with that journey and be able to take a complex situation and make it work.
You're absolutely right. It is that imperative for change because utilities are very conservative. I don't know how often I'd say, try this initiative. No, the rate, the regulator won't approve this. We're happy the way we are. Unless you've got a blackout, then we'll invest. But technology exists. It's really a people thing. Now, if you're challenged with staff internally, look for help outside. Whether it's small utilities, there are new offerings with SaaS providers that can do work. Like we're partnering with companies like UtilSmart, for example. They support small to medium-sized companies, so the utility doesn't need to make a big investment themselves. The large players, like with 1 million, 5 million customers, they've got large IT departments, they leverage SIs, they've got a lot more tools. But small utilities, they have to partner much more heavily to accomplish the same thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in all actuality, outside of ERCOT, everybody's connected in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And small, mid, large, there is an interconnection that exists, and everybody has to be sort of rowing in the same direction to a certain extent, right? The small and the mid, but there has to be the solutions and there has to be people that they can trust. Now, with that said, I understand utilities are pragmatic. Yep, they are. without a doubt. They're gonna drive the adoption timeline here. Where is sort of that roadblock? It has to happen. We've already said it has to happen, and it is happening, but there are roadblocks. What are they?
I think it's the executive leadership of the utility that doesn't wish to change. So you could be pitching to say, improve this business process, invest in cloud technology or invest in anything. But unless they believe that this will help them and that they can do it, they're not going to do it. Sometimes it needs fresh ideas coming into those teams. I've seen even right across each other, one utility had that executive vision. They have some of the best safety scores, some of the lowest operating costs in the area. It's just phenomenal, world class. They invest technology, optimization, and another one that doesn't. And then, but their state shareholders, usually municipality, may not care as much. So, and they appointed executives that were not that driven. So I think that's probably the number one thing.
As a consumer, because I'm a consumer, why is digital transformation and being aware of this change taking place, why is it important to me?
Your bill. We are all faced with increasing electricity costs, not as much as our neighbors in Europe, where it's insane. North America, we're blessed with a bit more resources. But cost and power quality, I think we are so dependent. I know my parents just went and invested in a generator because they were out for too long, multiple times in the past year. So they said, I'm going to protect myself. Well, because they can't live without it. We want to charge our phones. We want to connect to the internet. We've become so connected, dependent on electricity that we care that power quality is maintained and improved over time. And second, that the price is cost effective, that you're not paying, the price is like in the UK right now.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. But I think you're hitting on all cylinders there, because I know that that I believe that there's this push for, of course, there's this push for renewables and getting more renewable power onto the grid and all that good stuff. I think the risk is that if I'm a utility and I don't do a good job at ensuring a stable, reliable grid, all of this other stuff means nothing, because consumer, me, I'm not going to be happy. Because
reliability is number one, safety together, cost is third. Whether it's renewable or not, the customer doesn't care. Like, you don't have visibility. Where is my electron coming from? It's coming from, it could be nuclear, could still be coal in some jurisdiction, gas. Gas. You've got a diversified fleet, and the customer, if power is out, they're not going to say, hey, at least not, we're not burning coal. My power is out. In Europe, Germany is now firing up coal.
Yeah.
Though they said shut down our nuclear. So
because I'm upset and I want to charge my phone, and and it's a hot day out there, so I have an AC, and I'm pretty rudimentary when it comes to my Maslow hierarchies of need and power, you know. And then we can talk about pie in the sky type stuff, but that's why the utilities tend to be very pragmatic. And thank you for being pragmatic, you know, just because but I think that the journey begins with the ability to be able to see that data and being able to use that data and to be able to tactically use the data to make better decisions and help me, Joe Consumer.
And I think also to protect themselves, because there's consumers can move quickly. Just in our neighborhood, I'm seeing, I didn't see so many electric vehicles. Where are they buying from? They're all gas powered. Now I'm seeing them more. And
yeah,
now, I don't believe practically we're going to have our entire fleet electrified. There's too much risk in that, but it will be a material impact if everyone starts charging at the same time on any system.
Yeah, see, and even back when I was doing line work, we were talking about reconductoring because the demand was increasing, reconductoring the transmission, but then that requires, you know, heavier conductor and redesign of towers. And you know what? It stayed the same because nobody wanted to redesign the towers, bring in, you know, and not in my backyard. So it's a real dynamic. And again, I think it's a data analytic conversation. And if I can create real insights like F1, real insights into the way my system is operating, then I can make decisions on saying, nah, we do have to bring in new line here. We got to do, there's a little bit more information instead of just saying, ah, hey, we got to bring in some more conductor.
And there's another thing from a cost perspective. So I did a project at the ISO and it had to do, and I learned too much. We hired an engineer for it, contingency. So how do you fortify a grid? You've got first, second, third layer contingency. If this happens, you can do this. And guess, that's like a tax on the whole power system that everyone pays for because you've got insurance across the board. And now with a much more dynamic system, am I going to invest, spend more and more billions on contingency or by really managing it better? By understanding what's going on every millisecond, every second, et cetera, so then you can adjust. Not, hey, I will just manage. The previous technique was you put contingency at the highest level and hope and manage through it, but it's expensive.
Yeah, see, and I think you're spot on. I think you just have to greater insights into your existing grid, then you're able to make better decisions going forward, better financial decisions. Whatever it might be, but it starts there. It starts with, yeah, I see it. I see what's going on. All right, we're going to have to wrap it up.
Okay.
Shamik, did I say that right again?
Yes, excellent.
All right. How do people get a hold of you? And they're saying, gosh, he is speaking to my heart, which is probably me and maybe three others.
You can look me up on LinkedIn as well. Send me a note.
Yep.
You can email me at ptomczak@kx.com and happy to engage with you.
Fantastic. Fear not, listeners. We're going to have all his contact information out on Industrial Talk. So don't come talk. Hey, by the way, look at me. I'm still pending my invitation. You haven't accepted me in LinkedIn.
Oh,
I'm kind of a big deal here. I'm kind of. You are absolutely wonderful. I love this conversation. I can go on and on and on. Thank you very much for what you guys do. That's pretty cool stuff. And we're going to have you on again because today it's this way, but tomorrow is going to be something different. I guarantee you, because that's how fast things happen.
I look forward to it.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. As you know, do not go away. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Thank you once again for joining Industrial Talk, an ever-expanding problem-solving ecosystem that's dedicated to educating, collaborating, and, of course, innovating. And you need to be a part of it. So go out to industrialtalk.com. A thank you to Shamek, Tomczak, KX. See, I love that conversation. It is a data conversation, and there's a lot more. I mean, you just have got to be engaged. You got to collaborate because things are happening so fast. It's blistering. Yeah, it is. All right. Again, I'm going to pump. You got to be, if you're in manufacturing, IMTS. That is September 12th through the 17th, and it is in Chicago. No problem there. Be a part of that because we're going to be broadcasting with IMTS Plus. And get on it, man. That'd be great. All right, people. Be brave, dare greatly, hang out with people like Shamek, and you're going to change the world. Thank you very much for joining. We're going to have another great conversation shortly.